When people love someone, oftentimes their love comes in conflict with other people that love them. And such is the setup for the upcoming show, Mothers and Sons, which will be playing at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park's Thompson Shelter House Theater, March 18th through April 17th. And joining me in the studio is the director of the show, Timothy Douglas. Welcome, Timothy.
Thank you.
Now, many people may recognize your name at Playhouse in the Park because you're also an associate artist, and you've directed quite a number of shows there, including Clybourne Park, The North Pool, Trip to Bountiful, Safe House most recently. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about the story of the show.
Terrence McNally's play begins at a kind of reunion between Catherine Gerard and Cal. She is the mother of Andre. Andre is Cal's late boyfriend at the time, and they would have married had they been able to get married. They met 20 years earlier at a memorial service for Andre, who died of AIDS. And at that time, Catherine was still in denial about her son's homosexuality, much less being able to accept that he died of AIDS. And so this is a conversation that actually didn't start 20 years prior that finally happens. And she encounters Cal in his home, and there also is his current husband, Will, and their child, Bud.
And this is a very poignant play and is sort of almost a full cycle for McNally. He has been writing about gay culture for quite a number of years, very early on with The Ritz, which was a comedy, moving on through Love, Valor, Compassion, Lips Together, Teeth Apart,
yes,
and more recently to Corpus Christi and Lisbon Traviata, sometimes infused with humor, sometimes infused with the passions and emotions of the culture. And this particular play has been referred to as being a resonant elegy for a ravaged generation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about McNally's approach to the gay culture and why he's included in so many of his plays?
I think McNally writes personally, as I'm sure you know all great writers do, but it was a crazy time. The early 80s in New York City, which is where I was as well, that was the beginning of my coming out. It was a wild time. No one really knew what was happening. And friends, colleagues, and mentors, which is the most remarkable thing for me, mentors of the later generations just gone. So it's an artistic response, an emotional response to all those voices that were just ripped away. Even though many advances, you know, have happened with being able to live with AIDS now, there's just that whole lost generation that was just wiped out. And again, I keep returning to mentorship. You know, those generations of young gay men and women and transgender just don't have it. So I think he's trying to fill that void. And that's my perspective of it. I hadn't actually talked to him about that specifically, what he specifically was after. But it resonates so deeply, which is why I never asked, because his writing and his stories about his generation and coming out stories and the challenges of being gay in America helped me.
A lot of his plays deal with the impact of current events in gay culture. Love, Valor, Compassion did address some of the early AIDS issues within the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
Lips Together, Teeth Apart actually showed the impact of the gay culture on straight family and friends. This is one that brings that both together.
Yes.
And actually, there was an earlier short play called Andre's Mother.
Yes. Which introduces the character of Cal and Andre's mother, though in that short play, she doesn't speak at all. I keep referencing that play because it haunts me and it's been with me for a long time, and I can't help making the connection to Andre's mother. But Terrence McNally is very clear that Mothers and Sons stands on its own. And though the reference is undeniable, you know, I'm very careful not to rely too much on that play. But I think the silence of Catherine and Andre's mother is a nod to the struggle of a particular generation of parents who really were not prepared to understand gay children, culture, society, religions that still believe it's an abomination, that it's wrong, you know, what to do. And it's so great that 20 years after Andre's mother, Catherine finally has her voice in a very complicated position that she's in, loves her son, you know, unconditionally and undeniably, but is still having trouble putting the pieces together. And the reason that she's ready to look is because she's recently widowed. And now, you know, the two most important people in her life are gone, and she was devoted to her son. And the only other person that she perceives loved her son as much as she did is Cal. And I believe this is why she reaches out, even though she says in the play she doesn't know why.
Of course, if it was just a play about the two of them, it would take a certain dynamic. But there's also two other characters involved, Cal's husband
yes.
and their son.
Yes.
Of course, this means there's more people that are impacted by her visit.
Yes. And the trajectory of the writing of the play was written and already in line to be produced before gay marriage was the law of the land. And so it was a very interesting time sitting in that first audience that I had the opportunity to do. And I'd read the play before it was produced and then seeing it after gay marriage is legalized, looking at two sides of the same coin, equally impactful. So marriage, gay marriage is very present. So Catherine, you know, not only is she walking into a situation where she's still wrestling with what it is to have a gay son who happens to be dead, dealing with the fact that he died of AIDS, but then she walks into, you know, men being able to marry. It's quite a wallop for her. And the audience really will take the journey with her. And certainly, I imagine some of the parents I've talked to of gay sons in Cincinnati will really have lots to meditate on while the show is being performed.
Now, you've worked with a number of contemporary American authors before, August Wilson, Beth Henley, Suzanne Laurie Parks. This is your first time directing Terrence McNally.
Yes.
What is it about his writing and more specifically this particular show that excites you?
Well, I approach every play exactly the same way. It's human. There's a deeper story to be told beyond the language. And depending on the style and the given circumstances and the cultural history of the play, then it tells me what it needs from it. So I'm not approaching Terrence McNally any differently than the other authors that you mentioned. However, this production was born of a conversation I had with Blake Robison, the artistic director, about, you know, my relationship with the theater and an audience is getting to know me through my work. And to date, all of the plays I've directed for the Playhouse have had race themes to it, which is vital. I've thoroughly enjoyed and have been impacted by everything that I've done. But I thought it's really important for me to do something else for Cincinnati, and he wholeheartedly agreed. And one thing I realized, not only in Cincinnati, but in my career, I rarely get to direct plays that deal with issues of gay culture. And it's so close to me, and it seems like a no-brainer. And so that was the beginning of looking for the next project for me to direct. To date, there really haven't been many plays on the Playhouse stage dealing with gay culture specifically. Sure, there have been gay characters, but not at the center of their lives within the stories. Because of that, we were very careful about which play we would begin that journey, hopefully the first of many to come. And Mothers and Sons, given the times and given its accessibility, seemed to be the perfect play.
Now, in the role of Catherine, you have Stephanie Barry, who has appeared on the Playhouse stage and has been under your direction before.
Yes.
Stephanie is a woman of that age in this contemporary setting.
Yes.
I mean, it is a play of today, and she has family. Has she had any particularly strong feelings about the role and how she approaches it?
Of course, but that's no different than any role that she approaches. She's a remarkably passionate, specific, connected, intelligent, and emotionally intuitive woman. And that demonstrates powerfully in her work. And in her life, as most artists do, she's very familiar with gay culture, has very many gay friends. So it strikes her particularly personal on that level because, like many of us, she lost a lot of friends to the AIDS crisis as well. You know, I'm African-American and Stephanie is African-American, and Terrence did not write the role specifically for African-American characters. But as I begin to prepare for the play, as with anything, as I read it, I saw my world reflected in it. The play allows the specificity of my journey. And so for me, it was a no-brainer to people a production with a world that means the most to me so I can bring the greatest impact to the play. And Stephanie, both in roles written specifically for African-American women and not, continues to not only perform but channel the essence of the human condition with great impact, possibility, compassion, but directness that is searing.
Well, I would like to thank this evening's guest, Timothy Douglas, director of Mothers and Sons, appearing at the Playhouse in the Park. Thank you so much for joining us, Timothy.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Mothers and Sons runs at the Playhouse in the Park's Thompson Shelterhouse Theater March 18th through April 17th. For more information on the production, please be sure to visit our website at wvxu/aroundcincinnati. This is Jim Stump.